بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 37th session. Reading from commentaries related to العقيدة التحاوية by الإمام أبو جعفر أحمد بن محمد بن السلامة التحاوي رحمه الله. Before we look at the points that we're going to discuss tonight, the statements of Imam al-Tahawi, before we look at that, we're going to go back and look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 36. The first question being, mention the 62nd statement of Imam al-Tahawi. 62nd statement, which is numbered as 138 in the Arabic commentary of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan and 137 in the English translation. Naam, Adam.
والإيمان هو الإقرار باللسان وتصديق المعرفة بالجنان وتصديقه المعرفة بالجنان.
That's how it came in your book.
No.
In this book. طيب. In any case, in the edition of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, and the wording is al-iman huwa al-iqrar bil-lisan wa al-tasdiq bil-qalb. And I'm not really sure, yani, what is the meaning of those, yani, what's the connotation here that's intended by those extra words. But most of the commentaries that I've seen didn't come with that wording, so Allahu alam, perhaps there's some manuscripts with that wording. In any case, the meaning of iman, yani, according to al-Imam al-Tahawi, the meaning of iman is to affirm or to confess. يعني to لا إله إلا الله, confessed with the tongue, and تصديق بالجنان, يعني to testify to the truthfulness of, يعني لا إله إلا الله in the heart, يعني to testify to the truthfulness of لا إله إلا الله in the heart. So a person acknowledges it on their tongue and they testify to its truthfulness in the heart. Question number two, whose definition of iman entails limiting iman to affirmation of the tongue and attestation with the heart? Zaki. Okay. Faith. Faith. That's it. That's it. Yani, this definition, that it is attestation or affirmation or confession on the tongue, making the statement on the tongue and attesting to the truthfulness of it in the heart, having that i'tiqad, that conviction in the heart, this is the definition of iman of the murji'ah. This is the definition of iman of the murji'ah, who limited iman to that which is on the tongue and that which is in the heart, yani to the exclusion of actions. Question number three, what does Sheikh Salih Fawzan say is the true statement or definition of iman according to the scholars of Ahl Sunnah? Abdul Wali.
Speech of the tongue, conviction, i.e. belief of the heart, and action of iman.
Tayyib. He said that it is, yani conviction, or speech on the tongue, and the i'tiqad, yani conviction in the heart, and actions that are performed by the limbs of the body. And after that, a little bit further down, he also added to that what? Naam. Okay, actions included in reality of faith. And he also said after that, very important part of the definition here, naam. It's not something extra, yani, beyond iman. It's actually a part of iman, but he said something else. And from the scholars of the Ahl Sunnah, who said that iman is speech and action, or it's speech and action and conviction, they also added to that definition now. That it increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience. This is a very important part of the definition of iman, especially when we consider that the murji'a, who say that actions are not a part of iman, as a result of that, they say iman doesn't increase and doesn't decrease. So this is very, very important, that we acknowledge the fact that iman does increase and it does decrease with obedience and disobedience and other than that. And this is, yani, necessary this is a necessary yani addition to the definition of iman for us to acknowledge that iman is not something static, but rather it increases and it decreases. Question number 4, memorize one of the ayat which Sheikh Saleh Fawzan mentions in support of the increase and decrease of iman. Naam. 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 Yani the meaning of which is, somebody tell us what's the meaning of this ayat. Naam.
When the verses are recited to them.
When his verses, yani verses of Allah are recited to them.
Increase them in faith.
It increased them in iman. To the end of the ayat. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ And they put their trust, dependence and reliance upon Allah alone. And the point of this ayat is the clear mention of the increase of iman. And that there are things that cause a person's iman to increase, and from them is yani that a person hears the ayat of Allah. Question number 5, how is the hadith, whoever sees an evil must change with his hands, a proof of proof that iman decreases? How is this a proof that iman decreases? Anybody else? Fadl, Zakaria. And in the end of the hadith, that whoever sees a munkar should change it with their hands, and if they're not able to speak out against it, if they're not able to hate it in their heart. The end of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَذَلِكَ أَدْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ That is, the weakest of iman, which is an indication that iman can be strong and it can be weak. So it can increase and it can decrease, and this is the weakest of iman, and some of the narrations have mentioned that there's nothing of iman after this. Meaning, that a person's iman can decrease, and decrease and decrease until there's nothing left of it. Naam. In some of the narrations, naam. Like the weight of a mustard seed. Question number 6. Mention briefly the difference between the 4 groups of the Murji'ah as to how they each define iman. First one, naam.
Hanafiya.
Uh-huh. And they said that it's word or speech on the tongue and belief or conviction in the heart only, and to the exclusion of actions. Other than that, Nam Nasir?
The Karamiya. Is just speech alone.
Karamiya said that it's just speech alone. Nam. Abdul Wali.
Ash'ari. They say conviction of the heart alone.
And the Ash'ariya or the Ash'aira say that it's conviction of the heart alone. And finally, now, Jahmiyyah, that is Ma'rifah. And it's just Ma'rifah, which means what? Yani that a person knows, is aware, knows this, that Allah exists. Now, question number 7, Fir'aun and Iblis would be considered a mu'min, according to which of these deviant groups, and why? And why? Now, Adam.
Say the Jahmiyyah.
The Jahmiyyah. And why though?
Because they know that.
Because they have Ma'rifah.
And they stated that, I believe it was Iblis who said Rabbi.
No. And the point is that this idea that this could be Iman, and he saw everybody would be included in it as a mu'min. Because. Assalamu alaikum. I didn't see you there. MashaAllah. Okay, last question. Abu Lahab, Abu Talib, and Abu Jahl. Would each be considered a mu'min according to which of these deviant groups and why? And why? Naam.
Ash'a'ira.
According to the Ash'a'ira. Why is that? Because what is their definition of iman? Yani tasdiq bil qalb. Yani that is just the affirmation of the truthfulness of the statement of La ilaha illallah in the heart. That's their definition. And in that case, then these uncles of the Prophet ﷺ and the other mushrikun, they were all, yani, everyone who actually believes that he is a real true prophet, then they would be considered as believers. These are some of the points that we discussed last week. And this topic, yani, we will continue with some matters related to it today in the 2 statements that we're going to look at from Al-Imam al-Tahawi. But it's important that since this difference concerning what is iman has so many consequences that are extremely dangerous. It's important that we understand it well. So there's a benefit in a person going back and reviewing what has been said on this topic, and even looking to other sources and reading further, so that the idea, what is correct and what is wrong, becomes clear, and why it's correct and why it's wrong, and the evidence is for it. It's very, very important that a person understand this well. Tonight we want to look at the 63rd and the 64th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi, rahimahullah, and the commentary of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, as well as additional points of benefit from Al-Imam Muhammad Nasruddin Al-Albani, Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz, rahimahumullah. So the 63rd statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi, which has been numbered by Sheikh Salih Fawzan in his Arabic explanation as number 139, and in English 138. And Al-Tahawi says, وَجَمِيعُ مَا صَحَّ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ الشَّرَعِ وَالْبَيَانِ كُلُّهُ حَقٌّ جَمِيعُ مَا صَحَّ. Everything, all of what has been authentically narrated from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم من الشرع والبيان, from that which Allah has legislated in terms of the actions that He has legislated for us to do, والبيان, and the clarification, the information of what the Prophet ﷺ came with clarifying, matters of the deen. Everything that has been legislated in terms of actions, and everything that has been clarified, information that has been given concerning this deen, everything that came authentically from the Prophet ﷺ, كُلُّهُ حَقٌّ, all of it is the truth. And this is a very strong statement here. That what we are legislated to do and what we are legislated to believe, what He has informed us, all of that is the truth. That we believe in it, we affirm it, we confirm it, and we act upon it. All of it is the truth. So, Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he says in reference to this statement, هذا كلام طيب. This is good, beautiful speech. What he said here is very good. كل ما صح عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو حق. Everything that has been authentically narrated from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, then it is the truth. It's confirmed, there's no doubt about it. We testify to its truthfulness, we believe in it, and we submit, surrender, and comply with what came to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, all of it is the truth. بخلاف من يقولون إنما ورد عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ينقسم إلى متواتر وأحد. In this, everything that came to us from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is haq, that we affirm and we confirm and we believe in and we act upon. Contrary to those who said whatever has been narrated from the Prophet ﷺ is divided into two categories, mutawatir and ahad. The simple definition of the mutawatir narration is a narration in which the narrators on every level, every tabaqa of the isnad, from the sahaba, the tabi'in, atba' tabi'in, on every level, it's a large number of narrators, such that it would be impossible that all of those people could have came together and fabricated something. So there's no doubt about the authenticity of the hadith that's mutawatir. As far as the ahad hadith, it has three categories. The gharib, or fard, the aziz, and mashhur. And this is not a mustalah hadith class, just to give some idea what we're talking about here. So it means that every narration in which the narrators on every level is less than reaching the level of mutawatir. It's three or two or one narrator on any level, on all the levels or on any level. If there's only one narrator in any one level, then that's gharib or fard. If there's two, if the most that is in any level, even if the rest of the levels have many narrators, if any level has only two narrators, then that is aziz. And if it has three, that is the most that's in any level is three, even if other levels have more, then that's mashhur. What's important here is that they are saying, forget about the technical definitions of mutawatir and ahad. What is important here is they're saying that we are dividing the narration from the Prophet ﷺ into these two categories. And as the Shaykh says here, فَلَا يَأْخُذُونَ إِلَّا الْمُتَوَاتِرِ. So we don't take except that which is mutawatir. So if it's not mutawatir, then we don't take it. That's really what's the point. If it's not a hadith that came with a large number of narrators in every level of the chain, in every tabaqah, then we don't take it. And the hadith that are mutawatir are very few. Which means that most of the deen, yani, would be lost if we took this position. And there's no basis for it. And they also say, the ahadith, al-ahad, la tufidu al-ilm, wa la tufidu al-yaqeen. In the translation, they translate it as, tufidu al-ilm, wa la tufidu al-yaqeen. And the Shaykh is saying here, la tufidu. They are saying, it doesn't, yani, we don't get the benefit from these narrations, we don't get knowledge from it. It's not knowledge and it's not certainty. It's neither knowledge nor certainty. That's what they are saying. And whoever has the English translation, please correct it. And what the Shaykh is saying is, he's not saying it does, yani, yufidu ilm. He's saying it does not. They are saying it does not tufidu ilm. It does not tufidu al-yaqeen. It doesn't give us knowledge and it doesn't give us certainty. And also, we cannot use it as a dalil in our aqidah. So these people are saying hadith are divided into mutawatir and ahad, and we only take mutawatir. As far as the ahad hadith, yani, we don't get knowledge from it, we don't get certainty from it, and we cannot use it as a proof in our aqidah. وَهَذَا باطلٌ. Sheikh Salih Fawzan said, this is absolutely false. False. فَكُلُّ مَا صَحَى عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُتَوَاتِرًا أَوْ آحَادًا فَإِنَّهُ يُفِيدُ الْعِلْمُ وَتُبْنَى عَلَيْهِ الْعَقِيدَةِ. Shaykh is saying, actually everything that has been authentically narrated to us from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whether it's mutawatir or ahad, yani, we benefit from it as knowledge. Knowledge that, yani, we can benefit from. And also, the aqidah may be based upon it. We may base our aqidah upon those narrations that came as, yani, ahad hadith, that are not mutawatir. Why is it that, yani, these narrations are knowledge and they are, can be a basis for our aqidah? لِأَنَّهُ صَحَى عَنَ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولِ فَخُذُوهُ. Shaykh is saying, because why is it, yani, that these are, do benefit us with knowledge, yani, knowledge that we can rely upon and we can base our aqidah upon, is because it has been authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did actually say these things, and Allah said in Surah Al-Hashr, 59th Surah, 7th Ayat, and whatever the Messenger gives you, take it to the end of the ayat, and whatever he prohibits you, leave it. And observe taqwa of Allah. Indeed, Allah is severe in punishing. Here, I have to go to the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di. Even though we have a limited amount of time, but the benefit here is too great to overlook. He says in his tafsir of this ayat, whatever the Messenger gives you, take it. And whatever he prohibits you, leave it. Shaykh is using this as evidence of what? That whatever came to us, whether it's mutawatir or ahad, yani, Allah ordered us, whatever the Messenger gives you, take it. Shaykh Abdul Rahman Sa'di, rahimahullah, says, وَلِذَٰلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهِ بِالْقَائِدَةِ الْكُلِّيَّةِ وَالْعَصِلِ الْعَامِ. And for this reason, Allah has ordered us with this qa'idah, this, yani, principle that is all-inclusive. Qa'idah kulliyah. That's all inclusive. That includes everything. Nothing is outside of it. Wal asl al aam, and this general, yani, foundation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us with this, yani, all inclusive principle and this general foundation. When he said, whatever the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives you, take it, and whatever he prohibits you, leave it. The Shaykh in his tafsir, he says, wa hadha shamil لأصول الدين وفروعه. This includes the foundations of the deen, yani the aqidah, and its branches, the jurisprudence. He's clearly saying that it includes every aspect of the deen. Whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave you, take it. Whether it's in usul or in furu, whether it's in aqidah or in fiqh and ibadah or whatever. And then he said, ظاهرهِ وباطنهِ, whether it's from the outward things or the inward things. And the actions that we see are the inward actions of the heart. وَأَنَّ, secondly he said, وَأَنَّ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ الرَّسُولِ يَتَعَيَّنُ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ الْأَخْذِ بِهِ وَاتِّبَاعُهُ, that whatever the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has brought to us, it is obligatory upon the worshippers to take it and to follow it. It is obligatory to take it, whether it is mutawatir or ahad, if it's authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thirdly he said, وَلَا تَحِلُّ مُخَالِفَتُهُ, and it's not lawful, it's not permissible for a person to oppose what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, whether in usul or furu. And then he said, وَأَنَّ نَصَّ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ عَلَى حُكْمِ الشَّيْءِ كَنَصِّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, yani that which has been explicitly mentioned by the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as the ruling of anything, it is just like that which has been explicitly mentioned by Allah, the Most High. وَلَا رُخْصَةَ لِأَحَدٍ وَلَا عُذْرَ لَهُ فِي تَرْكِهِ, and nobody has a permission and nobody has an excuse to leave it. What the Prophet ﷺ brought, whether it's in usul, whether it's in furu', aqidah or other than that, nobody has a permission and nobody has an excuse to leave it. And then finally he said, وَلَا يَجُوزُ تَقْدِيمُ قَوْلِ أَحَدٍ عَلَى قَوْلِهِ, and it's not permissible to give precedence to the saying of anyone over the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this ayat that the Shaykh Salih Fawzan mentions as a proof that what came to us from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yani is to be accepted and to be believed if it's authentic and to be acted upon, whether it's in the matters of the fundamentals of the deen, aqidah or other than that. Yani this ayat is a clear proof for what he's saying here. After this the Shaykh Hafizullah said, so if something has been narrated authentically from the Prophet, إِذَا صَحَّ فَإِذَا صَحَّ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حَدِيثٌ عُمِلَ بِهِ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, if something has been authentically narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, a hadith, then it is to be acted upon in everything, whatever it might be, with the condition that it has to be authentically narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And that's why we always say that authentic hadith, qualify that statement with authentic hadith, because there are hadith that have been attributed to the Prophet that are not authentic, and that's a different matter altogether. Shaykh is saying with the qualification, with the condition that it has to be authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he mentions two groups of people who deviated concerning the sunnah, fahunaka tawaif al-ana yushakkikuna fi sunnah, so there are some groups of people right now in this modern time who are putting doubt in the sunnah, causing people to doubt the validity of the sunnah. Minhum man yaqul la yajuz al-amal bis-sunnah mutlaqan, so from amongst them is one group who says it's not permissible to act upon the sunnah in anything whatsoever at all, not permissible to act upon the sunnah. You've heard of those people, right? Yeah, I mean the people who say, for example, we believe in the Quran only, Quran is sufficient for us, no sunnah, khalas. And another, and he said, well, وَيَكْفِي الْعَمَلْ بِالْقُرْآنِ, that's what they said. It's sufficient for us to act upon the Qur'an, فَقَدْ, alone. We don't need the sunnah. And then the footnote mentions the hadith of Al-Miqdam ibn Ma'adi Qarib, rahimahullah, radiallahu anhu. He said that the Prophet ﷺ said, indeed I have been given the book and that which is like it. Yani the Qur'an and that which is like it, meaning the sunnah. He said a man will be sitting on his chair saying, عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ, you must take the Qur'an. And whatever you find yani mentioned in the Quran is halal, take it as halal. Whatever you find mentioned in the Quran is haram, then take it as haram. The hadith is mentioned by Imam Ahmed, Abu Dawud, and others. The Shaykh says, that's the first group. They said it's sufficient to act upon the Quran alone. Another group, they said, we take from the Sunnah the mutawatir only. Only mutawatir. And both of these groups are dal, are astray. So what is obligatory, Shaykh is saying? فَالْوَاجِبْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمْ أَنْ يَعْتَقِدَ أَنَّ كُلُّ مَا صَحَى عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَهُوَ حَقٌّ. So what is obligatory upon a Muslim to have as the aqidah, and ya'taqid, yani to have as the aqidah in their heart, to believe firmly without any doubt, is that everything that came authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is haq. It is the truth. Yani there's no doubt about it. It's confirmed, and it's something that we must agree to. We must yani believe in it, and we must surrender, submit and comply with it and act upon it. Here the Shaykh mentions three examples in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that confirm the correctness that information that came from a single individual, that yani if it's reliable information, even though it came from a single individual, we act upon it. First, he mentions the action, the practice of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم عمل بخبر الواحد في وقائع كثيرة. The Prophet acted upon information that came from a single individual in many incidences, in many events. For example, the sighting of the Hilal, and the Halal for the beginning of the month. He said, Ibn Umar came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم رضي الله عنهما and informed him that he saw the Hilal, the new moon, crescent moon in the beginning of the month. So the Prophet ﷺ took that information from one single individual and he commanded the people to fast based upon it. So where then do they go with this khabar wahid? We can't take it. And the Prophet ﷺ took it. Second example he gave, the Bedouin came to the Prophet ﷺ and informed that he saw the Hilal. And the Prophet ﷺ said to him, do you bear witness that there is nothing which deserves to be worshipped except Allah? Do you bear witness that Muhammad ﷺ is the Messenger of Allah? He said, Naam. So the Prophet commanded the people to fast based on information that came from a single individual. وَهُوَ خَبَرٌ وَاحِدٌ Yani it's information that came from a single individual. Third, he said, وَكَانَ الرَّسُولُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ يُرْسَلْ رُسُلَهُ أَحَادًا وَمَا كَانَ يُرْسَلْ جَمَاعَاتٍ Yani the Prophet ﷺ himself used to send in his lifetime single individual people as messengers delivering his message to other people. He used to send individual people. And he didn't used to send a whole group of people to make it mutawatir. He would send one person. And والمرسل إليهم يعملون بما بلغهم المندوب عن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. And the people who that yani representative of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was sent to, those people acted upon what he conveyed to them from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Even though he's a single individual, they acted upon it. So the Shaykh, he closes with that. And I'm just going to make one brief commentary from Al-Imam Al-Albani rahimahullah. He says that this statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, that everything that has been authentically narrated from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whether it's from the yani things that Allah has legislated of actions, or from the bayan, the clarification of information that came to us that we must believe in, all of it is the truth. He said, meaning it's the truth, دون التفريق بين ما كان منه خبر أحد أو تواتر. Yani without making a distinction, a differentiation between what came from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as from a single individual, or came yani tawatiran, yani from many people, yani in the chain of narration, without making a distinction between what is khabar ahad or mutawatir, as long as madama annahu sahha an rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahada wa hadha huwa alhaq alladhi la rayba fi, yani we accept it, we don't make any distinction, as long as yani it is authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is the truth about which there is no doubt. And then he closes by saying, "والتفريق بينهما," yani differentiating between the hadith that came mutawatir and came as ahad. He said, "Differentiating between them, إنما هو بدعة. It is nothing but innovation. وفلسفة دخيلة في الإسلام. And it's just philosophy that has been entered into the heart of Islam, and that has been has reached the depth of the heart and the soul of the Muslims, yani till the people began to believe that this is something true. And it is mukhalifun lima kana alayhi as-salaf as-salih, and it is contradictory, in opposition to what the Salaf, the righteous predecessors were upon. Yani it's innovation, it's philosophy, and it's contrary to what the companions of the Prophet and the Tabi'in and Atba' Tabi'in were upon. And the A'imma, Al-Mujtahidun, yani the Mujtahid Imams. This is contrary to what they were upon, and this is what I have made clear in my essay, Wujub Al-Akhd Al-Hadith Al-Ahad Fil-Aqidah, yani the obligation of taking the Hadith, that's Ahad Hadith, in matters of Aqidah, not just in jurisprudence. And the refutation of the doubts of those who oppose this idea. We referred to the essay early on in the beginning of this book. Now, 10 minutes? Allahu Akbar. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. The second point, Sheikh Salih Fawzan has divided it into 2 points. He has divided it into 2 points. It's the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, 64th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, and I'm going to read both points and try to go through it, yani, together. But he separated them, and he has two commentaries on this one point. He numbers it as 140, the first part of the statement, and 141 as the second part of the statement. Well, Imam al-Tahawi says, "Wal imanu wahidun, wa ahluhu fihi sawa'un." In some of the narrations, and in some of the books, it has, "Wa ahluhu fi aslihi, fihi, or fi aslihi sawa'un." Yani, the iman is one thing. It doesn't have branches or parts. It's not divisible. And its people, the people of Iman, are equal in it, or equal in its foundation, meaning in the foundation of Iman, the tasdeeq in the heart. That they are equal in this. And Imam Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, هذا غلط. This is a mistake. This is an error. Why is it an error? Because Iman is not one thing that is indivisible, that can't be divided. And its people, the people of Iman, are not equal. Rather, Iman yatafadal wa yazid wa yankus illa inda al-murji'ah. Rather, Iman, yani, there's yani inequality. People are not equal. There are some people who are superior to others in Iman. Yani, Iman is not the same for everyone, or even for the same, for one person from the morning to the night or the next day. Yani, there's disparity in Iman. It increases and it decreases, except amongst the Murji'ah, except in the opinion of the Murji'ah. So the Shaykh here, he makes the point that on both sides you want to look at is what's in the heart or in the actions of the people, there's disparity, there's inequality in the Iman of the people. Whether you're looking at the asal of Iman, the tasdeeq in the heart, or whether you're looking at the actions of Iman. He says, the tasdeeq, or... the tasdeeq in the heart, first he mentions, the people are not equal in it. And just in the asal of Iman, people are not equal in that. For indeed, the Iman of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, is not like the Iman of the corrupt person from amongst the Muslims. Who can argue? And that is because the corrupt person, the sinful person amongst the Muslims, his Iman is very weak. And the Iman of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq is equal to the Iman of the entire Ummah. So the people in the asal of Iman, and here it seems as though the Shaykh is referring to the wording of the statement of Imam Tahawi, yani that the people are equal in it, yani the people are equal in its asal. He's referring to that word here. The people are not equal in the asal of Iman, the tasdeeq in the heart, وَهَذَا مِنْ نَاهِيَةِ أَصْلِهِ. Yani this is from the viewpoint or the standpoint of the asal of Iman, people are not equal. Likewise, from the other side of Iman, the actions of Iman, likewise, كذلك من ناحية العمل. Even in actions, people differ. There's disparity, inequality of the people in the actions of Iman. And then he mentions the ayah from the Quran, from Surah Al-Fatiha, 35th Surah, 32nd ayah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divides the people of this ummah, the people of Iman, into three groups of people, showing that there's disparity, there's inequality, that the people are not equal in Iman, not in the root of Iman, nor in the actions of Iman. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. And then we have given as inheritance the book, the Quran, to those we have chosen from amongst our worshippers, meaning the Muslims. From amongst them is the ظَالِمْ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مقتصدون. And from amongst them is the one who took the middle course. ومنهم سابقون بالخيرات بإذن الله. And from amongst them are those who are foremost in doing good by the permission of Allah. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, the first group of the people who are ظالم لنفسه, who is a wrongdoer to his own self, the first group, he said, this is the asi, the sinful person whose sin is less than shirk. But if it's shirk, he goes out of Islam. Whose sin is less than shirk. So this one is a wrongdoer to his own self, ظالم لنفسه. And that is because he has subjected himself to danger by committing those sins. The second group of people who are on another level of iman is the muqtasid. And that is the one who acts upon the obligatory duties, who does that which is obligatory and avoids that which is haram and limits himself to that. He does what's obligatory and he avoids what's haram without going any further. And the third group, who is the higher level of iman in their actions, are those who are foremost in doing good by the permission of Allah. He said, this is the one who acts upon the wajibat, obligatory duties, and the mustahabbat, and things that are not obligatory, but they are commendable and praiseworthy, loved by Allah. And he leaves off the muharramat, the haram things, and the makruhat, things which are disliked, hateful, distasteful, yani to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they're not haram. And they even leave off some of the things that are permissible, yani from the bab of ihtiyat, yani to take, yani precaution, not to, yani take the chance. So the ummah is not, the people of this ummah are not equal. So here he says, based on this ayah, the people are like three general groups. From amongst them is the one who is wrongdoer to his own self, committing sins, and the other one who is muqtasid, who is avoiding yani the haram and fulfilling the obligatory duties and limiting himself to that, and the third group are those who are foremost in doing good. فَدَلَّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّ الْإِيمَانِ مُتَفَاضِلِ. This is an indication, a clear dalil, that iman, yani that there is disparity, inequality, that people are not equal in iman. Not in the root of iman, the tasdeeq in the qalb, nor in the actions of iman. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says in the second part of this statement, وَتَفَاضِلْ بَيْنَهُمْ, or the Imam Tahawi says, وَتَفَاضِلْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْخَشَى وَتُقَى وَالْمُخَالَفَةِ الْحَوَى وَمُلَازَمَةِ الْأُولَى. Yani the second part of this statement, yani Imam Tahawi is saying that yani the people are equal in iman, and that iman is one thing. It's not, cannot be yani divided into parts. It's not branches or parts. He said, but the only yani tafadil, yani if some people being excellent or superior to others, is only in khashya, fear of Allah, and tuqa, observing taqwa of Allah, and opposing one's desires and sticking to that which is best. He said, only in this there is some difference between the people, but in the root of iman, people are equal, and iman is one thing, it doesn't increase and decrease. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, this statement, that there is some difference between the people, but not in the root of iman and not in the action of iman, he said, this is la yakfi, this is not sufficient. لِأَنَّ مَعْنَاهُ, because the meaning of this statement, the meaning of this statement, the Imam Tawi, it means, number one, إِخْرَاجِ الْعَمَالِ عَنْ مُسَمَّ الْإِيمَانِ. It means that we are taking actions out of what is called iman. And that's a mistake. Secondly, he said, and it also means that if a person testifies to the truthfulness in their heart and pronounces it on their tongue, then he is a believer whose iman is complete and perfect. And that is also wrong. And thirdly, he said, وَالنَّاسْ لَا يَتَفَاضَلُونَ فِي ذَلِكَ. وَالنَّاسْ لَا, and the people, he said, are not yani excelling, some of them over others. Yani there's no disparity or inequality amongst the people. Yani meaning, this statement means that the people are equal in tasdeeq in the qalb and nutq bil lisan. They're equal in that, even if there's some difference in taqwa and khashya and this kind of thing. Shaykh is saying, this is wrong. This is khata khabir, a big mistake, because at tafadil, yani the disparity, the inequality amongst the people of iman, and in iman itself, yani occurs by what he mentioned in khashya and taqwa, and it also occurs due to the righteous actions. There's also disparity due to righteous actions. And mashallah. Just quickly, yani in terms of this second statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, Al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani briefly says, yani this opinion that the people, that Iman is one, and that the people of Iman are equal, there's no difference between them. This is based on his previous statement concerning Iman, that Iman is just the confession on the tongue and the testifying to the truthfulness in the heart, based on that. But we have already known that what's correct is that there is disparity, there's inequality in the asl of Iman. As the Shaykh pointed out, the Iman of Abu Bakr is not like the Iman of the sinful regular person. And also, Iman, the people are different, differ in the asl of Iman, and that Iman as-salih, the Iman of the righteous person, is not like the Iman of the sinful person. Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says concerning this, and we close with this particular point, he says that this statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, that Iman is one, that it cannot be divided into parts, it is not branches, but it's just one thing, meaning you either have it or you don't. If you have Iman, you have it totally. Iman, a person is mu'min kamil Iman. Or you don't have it, like the Khawarij said, then you commit sin, you don't have Iman, you became a kafir. This idea that Iman is one thing, indivisible, that it doesn't have branches, that it's not, cannot be parts, different aspects of Iman, he said, هَذَا فِيهِ نَظَرْ بَلْ هُوَ بَاطِلْ. And this is something that's questionable, that needs to be examined. Rather, it's false. This statement is incorrect, it's false. Because the people of Iman, in terms of the Iman, they are not equal. Rather, they differ from one another with a great amount of difference from one of the people of Iman to the next. And then he gives examples. The Iman of the messengers of Allah is not like the Iman of other people. How can anybody question that? He said, similarly, the Iman of the Khulafa al-Rashideen, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum, and the rest of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, is not like the Iman of other people, other than the Sahaba. And similarly, ليس إيمان المؤمنين كإيمان الفاسقين. So the Iman of the people of, of the believers, obedient believers, is not like the Iman of the sinful ones. وهذا التفاوت بحسب ما في القلب من علم بالله وأسمائه وصفاته وما شرعه لعباده. He said this difference, disparity, inequality, in the Iman of the people is in accordance with what's in their hearts, of having knowledge of Allah and knowledge of His names and knowledge of His characteristics or qualities and knowledge of what He has legislated for His worshippers. And this is the statement, the position, the view of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, contrary to the Murji'ah and those who follow their opinion. Wallahu musta'an. So this is a summary of a very, very extremely lengthy commentary. This is not a summary, but this is a summarized explanation of a very, very lengthy matter that Al-Imam Ibn Abi Al-Izz, if anybody goes back to what he said, he has discussed in maybe 15 or 20 pages, or more than that maybe even. What is important here is to know what is Iman, and what is the correct definition of Iman, and what are the incorrect, mistaken definitions of Iman, and what is the consequence of that. And the main thing that we take from this is that Iman does include actions. Most of the scholars of Sunnah said Iman is speech and action, and some of them mention i'tiqad, which is understood automatically. That is speech and action and conviction in the heart, and that it increases and it decreases. It increases due to obedience to Allah and decreases due to disobedience of Allah. That's the general meaning of what is being said here. And so a person needs to know that Iman definitely includes actions. Actions do matter. And a person's sins harm them, and a person's good deeds benefit them. That a person can increase and strengthen their Iman by doing good deeds and by avoiding sins, abstaining from that which is wrong. A person can increase their Iman, can strengthen their Iman. And a person will cause harm to their Iman and damage to it and decrease of it and cause it to be defective and maybe يعني go out of iman completely by the sins and the corruption and the wrongdoing, disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's important that we understand the significance of iman, yani be increasing and decreasing, and how it increases and decreases, and know that any person has to pay attention to these things. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant us success in doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He and that we do it yani in accordance with the sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Allah out of His kindness and generosity that He recognize, record and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us al-thabat, that we be steadfast and firm upon as-sirat al-mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and to shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and to fill their graves with light, and to make their graves spacious, and to admit them into His paradise, and to protect them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims wherever they may be, in Gaza and in other places, whether in the Muslim lands or other than that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them protection from Himself, from before them and from behind them, and from the right and the left and above them and below them, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant victory to the Muslims over the enemies of Islam. And indeed, Allah alone is the one from whom help is sought. Ameen ya Rabbi.